This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12 is the time, and your first Mystery Hour of 2023 is underway. Apart from that, it's exactly the same as it's always been. You ring in with a question, someone else rings in with the answer. The only rules are that you're not allowed to be boring. I know what you're thinking, pot kettle. But, management's decision is final. We're not allowed repetition, but frankly, it's been going on for so long, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast these days, never mind what might have popped up on Mystery Hour 10 years ago. And finally, this is the one that we do try to enforce, at least a little. You're not allowed to look anything up. If you're new to the programme and you're thinking, and you hear someone ask a question, you think, oh, I'll Google that and get myself on the radio. I understand the appeal. I can see the attraction. It's clear. But it's not fair, and it would make a complete mockery of the whole game, the whole entertainment, the whole fun of it. So don't look stuff up, either online or in books. If you happen to be reading a book yesterday and stumbled across this nugget of knowledge, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But you're not allowed to look it up today. And that's really how it works. You ring in with... Oh, yes, and there's a prize, a very exciting prize. In fact, to give you an idea of... how exciting that prize is. I read you this message from Jennifer, actually, that came in just during the news there. James, thank you, and thank you, Big Sky Games, for the everlasting belly laughs and memories. We got the game for Christmas, and although Mum is currently on a red card, she rang my brother for the answer to a question, but she is a rule-breaking rebel. Even my nephews, aged 5 and 7, now want a game. I can't recommend it anymore for any age, and guaranteed giggles. And that's from Jen in Stilton. So there you go. That's the kind of endorsement that money can't buy. And you can win your own one. You can win your own one by being my favourite contributor to the programme. I'll read out more words of praise for the game, actually, in the course of the hour, but not too many. But the favourite contribution made by you and judged by me will win a board game today. And you can find the full terms and conditions at lbc.co.uk. And so it begins. Mariam is in Lewisham. Mariam, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
It's about eyes. It's about animals' eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It has occurred to me that human beings seem to be the only species where you can actually see the whites of their eyes when they're not rolling them or looking somewhere else.
Really?
If you think about it.
Well, I am now. How many species have you checked?
Well, I haven't thoroughly checked the whole lot. It's just ones that I can bring to mind.
Have you got any animals?
Yep. Cats, dogs.
Okay, and they don't have any whites? Or if they do, but the whole of what you might call the aperture is full of eye, isn't it? And yeah. It's only when they look to the left.
Unless, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a kind of little theory of my own, but it's probably not right.
Uh-oh. Go on.
Well, maybe evolutionary, it was a good thing to have that rolling of the eyes, that movement of the eyes to be more pronounced. Communication-wise?
Yeah, possibly. So people who could convey thoughts and feelings. So we would have been like animals originally, but the evolutionary advantage of being
animals,
more
of
expressive. Yes, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But that I quite like that. I think it's called the sclera. The sclera. S-C-L-E-R-A.
Yeah.
Isn't it? The eye white?
I think so. And you can see the iris and the pupil.
Yeah.
On most animals.
But you can't see much else.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on. I like that question, actually. We shall try and find out. Why is that? Why is it that only humans have sclera, prominent visible sclera, when their eyes are in a sort of resting stage? 6 minutes after 12 is the time. 0345 6060 973. Alan is in Blackburton, it says here. That's a new one on me. Alan, question or answer?
Close enough, Blackburton. Okay, here's the question. I took my daughter for a driving lesson yesterday.
Yes.
She hit a whopping great big pothole,
yes.
Punctured the tyre, etc.
No.
She said, yes.
I hope you were very sympathetic and patient with her, Alan.
I was. It wasn't her fault.
Exactly.
It was a puddle. You couldn't see it. Everybody's
okay.
Doing it at the moment. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But she turned to me after we calmed down and stopped, changed
yes.
the tyre. Dad, why are they called potholes? And I immediately arrogantly told her, well, that's because, Jessica, it's... And then I had nothing.
Did you change the wheel yourself?
No, I made her do it.
Oh. I know this. She did it herself, really?
Yeah, all my kids can weld, change wheels, tyres. We live on a farm, you know. We travel across Africa, etc. We do a lot of...
You can't just say we travel across Africa, etc. That's, I mean, what's the cetera when it comes to...
We do huge road trips. We travel around the world by car, and troubles occur, and the kids, I've always made them get out and fix it, whatever it is, so they can do it themselves when they get to...
That's sensational. I actually know the answer to this, would you believe?
Yeah, tell me.
It's to do with pottery, and it's not... I can tell you why I know this, because I don't know when the question popped up, but I thought it was because the hole is shaped like a pot. So it has a bottom to it, if you see what I mean, as opposed to a sinkhole or a hole that... I know all holes have bottoms, but you're never going to encounter a pothole that you can't very easily reach the bottom of. So it would have a pot, if you see what I mean. But it's not that. It's because potters used to dig clay out of the road before we had tarmacking and metalling and all that malarkey. The ruts would cut through the soil. So if you wanted to actually get some clay, then you'd go to the bits of the path where the wheels had cut into the lane or the road and dig a hole out of there, which would then, of course, annoy the cart drivers or what have you, and they were known as potholes. Holes dug to get clay to make pots.
And your qualifications are?
I can't remember, but I have looked this up in the past myself.
That would be a round of applause anyway.
It is. It's a great answer, though, right? I hope it's right.
Yeah,
I'm going to be gutted if it's wrong, because it sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Thank you. I've never driven around Africa, etc. But
loads. They're not potholes. They're like bomb craters everywhere.
Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it? So these little holes have got their own name. There's your answer. Round of applause for me. I'm going to rule myself out immediately of winning the board game. So it's still up. It's still up for grabs. Where are we going next? Dave's in Liverpool. Dave, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
Does light last forever?
What do you think?
I think it does. Because if you've got a star...
I do too.
Yeah, so where's it all? Why don't we see...
No, you're only allowed one question.
Because the light from a star. How far does it go then?
How far does the... Well, that doesn't... You can't have that. Does it last forever? As far as we know, could we prove that it does? Do we presume that it does? I mean, you mean uninterrupted, don't you? Because it...
Yeah, because if they say, like, the light from a star that we get at 10,000 years, 10,000 light years away.
You're on? No, you're on. Does light last forever? Or does it ever run out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll find out. 03456060973. Thank you, Dave. 10 minutes after 12 is the time. Mike's been in touch with the second Mystery Hour board game contribution of the afternoon. He says, James, we got the Mystery Hour board game for Christmas. I played it with my wife a day after having my gallbladder removed. As my wife began to deny me 3 points for not being specific enough in my answer and reread the very specific answer, I began a laughing fit. It is very funny. Although this is something of a health warning from Mike. The laughing caused agonising pain post-operation, which then made me and my wife laugh even harder. As excruciating as it was, it does keep making me chuckle at the memory of it. It's a great game. Thank you, Mike. I love that. I'm sorry as well. I don't know what to say. Well, there you go. They're testimonials. That's the word I was looking for. Mystery Hour testimonials. And, of course, you can get your own copy at mysteryhour.co.uk. Ian's in Hereford. Ian, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
There are currently 7... ex-prime ministers who are still alive, and I'm wondering whether that's a record.
Blair Brown, Major, Cameron, May, Truss, Johnson. God. Yeah, must be.
Yeah.
Absolutely
could be 8 ex-prime ministers pretty soon, but fingers crossed.
It could be, actually, and the chances are that John Major will outlive Rishi Sunak's premiership, so there'll be 8 alive. Yeah. I cannot for the life of me imagine there's ever been more than 7 prime ministers living.
I wouldn't have thought so either, but I can't be bothered to look it up.
So you rang National Radio instead?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I like it. I like the fact that I'm just a sort of booby prize to Google.
Well, you told me I couldn't use Google.
No, I know you can't. Well, it's not like you can't. You can use it yourself, man. It's only if you're ringing in with an answer. I'm not banning everybody from using Google for as long as Mystery Hour exists.
You
know, you're changing the rules as you go along.
That's why it's called James O'Brien's Mystery Hour, mate. That's how it works. I can't. I mean, I'd give you the money myself on that. It must be. I mean, we did the sums yesterday, didn't we? But from 1979 to 2000, we had 2005. 2015? Oh, I can't remember. From 1979 to 2015, we had five. And from 2015 to 2022, we had five. So the idea that there would be seven alive at any other point in history, even possibly the early 70s, Wilson was still alive. I don't know. Anyway, someone will know. And it's an easy round of applause up for grabs there. Not just a round of applause, of course, but also free entry into the Will I Win the Mystery Hour board game competition. John's in Sheffield. John, question or answer?
It's a question.
Yes.
I walk dogs for a living, and I'm quite out on the moors, and there's a lot of wind farms, and we've got an energy crisis, and we're trying to get more and more renewable energy. How come half the turbines are switched off when it's windy?
Well, because there's two reasons. We don't have very good storage capacity, so you'd be generating electricity and there'd be nowhere for it to go. And sometimes it's too windy.
But the thing is, if we've got no storage capacity, instead of getting more wind turbines, why don't we get more storage capacity? Like,
mate, this is Mystery Hour. This is Mystery Hour. You can't come on with questions like that. The question is, why aren't the wind turbines spinning? It's because it's not windy, or it's not windy enough, or there's no... that whoever owns it isn't going to get paid because the electricity isn't needed or usable.
Well, I spoke to one of the farmers and he said that they turn the wind turbines off, they actually get paid to turn them off.
Well, I don't care. These are the question you asked, you've already answered it. Why are you ringing me?
No, I just got interested in what the general reason was.
No, but that is the general reason. It's either too windy or not windy enough. Or, because of storage issues, they're not financially viable at that moment.
Yeah, the question is, why are we building more?
No, you see, that's not the question. The question is, why aren't we working harder to find better methods of storage?
Mm-hmm. That would be the easy way.
But that's not what happens on Mystery Hour, as I'm now reiterating for the third or fourth time. Round of applause for me. That's two for two. That's pretty good. Two in the first quarter. I hope this sets a tone for the whole of 2023. Happy New Year!
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:17 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where questions still in need of answers include, why is it only humans, or almost only humans? There's a couple of horses, I think, that might have sclera, well, eye whites that are clearly visible when the eye is resting. But why though? Does light last forever? And have there ever been more former prime ministers alive than there are former and current living prime ministers than there are now, and there are currently seven. The number you need is 03456060973. On we go. Debbie's in Poole in Dorset. Debbie, question or answer?
Hi James, it's an answer.
Carry on, Debbie.
So the lady asked about the white of the eyes in animals.
Yes.
I'm a dog behaviorist and trainer, so
okay.
I can tell you that you can see it in dogs,
yes,
for sure, and it's more visible, and dogs do purposely show the white of the eyes when things are a bit too stressful for them, or they're scared, or they're anxious, and they want the other dog or the other person to know. They don't want to have anything to do with them, basically. But if you look at dogs, some dogs are more obvious, and some are less obvious. So, but you can definitely see it. And I'm speculating, but I think it would be the same for other animals as well.
Do we know why the human sclera, and I appreciate you're not a human behaviourist, why the human sclera is so much more prominent than it is for almost any other, for any other species?
I'm afraid I don't know that. So sorry.
I don't know if that was the question, because, I mean... I mean, I'll give you a round of applause because I'm just generous
You.
No, you're very welcome. That's lovely. But I don't know that Mariam will be satisfied with that answer.
Oh, so sorry.
She's quite. I could think you could tell from the call. She's quite demanding.
She was pushy.
Yeah, very much.
Well,
so.
I apologise.
Quite high standard. Don't apologise. It's a lovely answer. What's the most common dog behavioural problem that you're presented with, Debbie?
Oh, at the moment, I would say separation anxiety, probably,
yeah,
because a lot of people have gone back to work and the dogs were not used to that.
And then they get quite yappy, do they?
Yeah, Yeah, sadly, yeah, or upset, or they can wreck their house even, you know, if they're terribly upset.
Because they're freaked, they're stressed, they're really, really stressed.
Well, and it's horrible for them.
What can you do to alleviate it if you have no choice but to go to work? Is there anything you can do to help?
Well, step by step, but I would say the first thing is have your little village ready, so have friends, colleagues, professionals coming in and checking on the dog as much as possible.
Okay.
And do it in very, very small...
if you can.
..little times, if you can. That's why I'm saying that maybe a friend or a colleague or neighbours, whatever, can help you to build
some human contact during the day so that they don't go...
Yeah, yeah.
And I've found always, try and find 10 minutes every day to play with her. Or him.
Oh my gosh, definitely. You would want that, wouldn't you, really?
I dream of it, Debbie. I dream of it.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Have a round. You've already had one round of applause.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaving the question on the board, but you might. You're in the game. You're in the frame for the Mystery Hour board game there. So, you know, all is not lost. Ronan's in Glasgow. Ronan, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Okay. How do they translate languages?
How do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm phoning you. The first English-speaking person met the first French-speaking person. How did they translate that to the point where we now know we can understand each other? You know what I mean?
Well, I think I do, but I think it's quite obvious.
Well,
they just point at something.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, you can't point at bloody everything, can you?
Well, I mean, technically you can. You can't point at... abstract ideas and thoughts and things like that, but you've probably got enough language by the time you've shared concrete definitions to have a conversation that you can understand about abstract definitions.
All right, okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's a wonderful question. It can't. I mean, there must be a little bit more to it than just holding up a stone. Actually, I don't know the French word for stone, so I'll think of something else. A dog, and the English fella says dog, and the French fella says chien, and you go, I see the French for the dog. And then chat and cat, careful, and then and then cochon and pig. So you could do all of that, but
it would take a hell of a long time.
Yeah, it would take you a heck of a long time. And how would you translate a word like feeling?
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if there is an answer. I'll try and find out for you. How does translation of non physical objects work? How did they do it?
Pretty much, yeah.
How did someone who only spoke French ever understand what feeling meant in English?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you, Ronan. You're on the board. It is 12:22 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Listen, I know the number is busy. There's no point texting me telling me that you can't get through. Did I miscount? Seven former. Not current. So we're not including Sunak. Sorry, I mean, no. Seven former private... God... It's a skip fire today, today's show. You should see my inbox. I'm still getting complaints about suggesting that an English team would win the FA Cup. It was a joke. And it's also almost certain. I'm sorry to my friends in Swansea and Cardiff and Wrexham, but it's all crikey. Seven former prime ministers currently living. That's the question. Is that the most there's ever been? Leave Sunak out of it, all right? So it goes Major Blair Brown, Cameron May. Oh, I always forget that next one. Truss Johnson. 12:23. Benedict is in Chiswick. Benedict, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Hello. What have you got?
It's about the light.
Yes.
Light is an electromagnetic wave. And if it is not absorbed by another particle, for example, in space, it will travel forever.
Yeah. Qualifications?
Yep. I love space and I listen to a lot of space podcasts, mainly to fall asleep.
Yes, I can understand that. Because contemplating the infinite somehow, that is quite soothing, isn't it? It can sort of lull you. So does light last forever? Yes, it does, because it's an electromagnetic force. So it's energy. So it's
exactly. Yeah.
Unless
it's an energy wave that just travels. It doesn't need any other matter to propagate, so it will just travel on forever into infinity, unless it is absorbed by some other particle. Like, for example, on Earth, we have lots of particle in the air, right?
Yeah.
So that's why light gets absorbed. That's why you can't see light forever on Earth. But in space, if there is no other particle, if there are no rocks or no space dust or anything like that, it will just go on forever.
And beyond.
And beyond, yeah.
A round of applause for Benedict.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. 24 minutes after 12. Chris is in Santander. Chris, question or... the town, right? Not the bank.
The town. Yes.
Question or answer?
I've got a question for you, James.
You're in your Spanish finca, which has a lot of tiling and no carpets.
Exactly.
Which is why it's echo.
Unlike Kidderminster. Unlike Kidderminster.
Yes, exactly. Unlike Kidderminster. That's how I can tell, because it's so echoey. I think you're less impressed than I thought you would be by my Columbo-esque powers of detection. And anyway, carry on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's a very simple question. Why do we say County Durham, but we don't?
No, it's gone awful now. I should never have referred to. Come off speaker. Get me off speaker. Try again.
Yeah. Is this better?
It's infinitely worse.
Okay. So why do we say County Durham, but we don't say County Yorkshire or County Kent or County Lancashire?
I know this. I think this has come up before. I'm not going to make a habit of doing this in 2023. It's got something to do with the word Palestine or Palatine. So originally, 19th century, it was County Palatine of Durham. So it would have had something to do, I think, with the bishop. It's like a ceremonial title, different from... other counties, which were obviously not ceremonial, they were geographic distinctions. So, because it was called originally the County Palatine of Durham, it's just survived as County Durham rather than.
Okay. That's a historical quirk.
Yeah. Yeah. They're historical quirk.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, James.
Oh, thank you, mate. Take care. Round of applause for me. How many is that today, Keith? Can I win my own board game? That's the question on everybody's lips. 26 does save on postage. 26 minutes after 12 is the time. Translations. How did they do it when you were talking about abstract concepts as opposed to just pointing at a table and saying table or tabla? Messer. Alison's in Lavenham in Suffolk. Alison, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
My question is, why do cows lie down when it's going to rain?
Do you know, we've been doing Mystery Hour now for 114 years, and some questions come round again, and you still don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I love them. No, it's not a criticism. You'd think we'd know by now, wouldn't you?
All right. I've got two theories.
Oh, go on. I like a theory.
One is that they're trying to keep their udders dry.
Their udder what?
And their udders dry.
Haven't they got any udder udders?
And the other is that they're trying to keep a dry patch of grass.
Yeah.
And when it stopped raining, they've got some dry grass to eat.
Oh, yeah. That's a good... They're both very good things. Yeah, I like both of those, actually. Probably the grass more than the udders. Because, I mean, the udders would stay dry even if they were standing up, unless it was very windy rain.
Yeah, I suppose. Or they were on a hill.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
No, actually, why do cows lie down when it rains? Or when it's going to rain?
Yeah, going to rain.
Yeah, that's the rumour, isn't it? Rumour. That's what we believe. The old right, you're on. Yeah, why do cows lie down when it's going to rain? Right. Thank you, Alison. Love it.
Nice one.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mark's in Sheffield. Mark, getting a lot of calls from Sheffield these days. I don't know. Unless it's the same person all the time. My mum will be pleased. Question or answer, Mark?
I've got a question, James.
Carry on, mate.
Right, I was watching QI over the Christmas period, and there's a question on there, and this isn't the question, but it prompted my question of what grows 6 inches every summer or something like that, and it was the Eiffel Tower.
Was it?
Because of the hot weather.
Yes.
So I want to know why things expand or get bigger when they get hotter.
It's because the molecules move, isn't it? Because the molecules move more.
The Eiffel Tower move?
Yeah, the molecules in it do. Well, obviously it moves if it grows 6 inches, doesn't it? It's moving, in some sense.
But what makes them move? What
the molecules inside...
In my head, at a cellular level, something's got to fill the space that they're no longer... that they're moving around in, under heat, because you can't really touch heat, feel... Well, you can feel heat.
Imagine a glass box, right?
Yeah.
With... Not glass. Glass is a bad example. Something that is malleable. Well, actually, glass works if it gets hot enough. But like a box made of Eiffel Tower, but it's see-through, yeah?
Yeah.
And now it's full of snooker balls, absolutely packed solid with snooker balls, right?
Yeah.
And the snooker balls, as you heat it up, they start jiggling, yeah?
Right.
And jiggling, and the more they jiggle, eventually they're jiggling so much, they start pushing out the walls of the box.
But why did what space do they jiggle into that wasn't there before?
Well, that's the point. They're creating the space by doing the jiggling, aren't they? That's why the walls have their jiggling so much that they're pushing the balls of the box out.
But why? What does the heat do to make them move?
Well, that's a different question. Oh.
But that's what's in my head about what. Because for me, if you make something bigger, you inject something else into it to expand it, such as whatever else, like water or air or whatever.
Yeah, but that's
heat on its own.
That's chemistry. This is physics.
Well, then it's a physics question. I can't decipher between the two.
But I've told you the molecules are moving around more, and they're creating space by moving.
But where did that space beforehand?
Well, that's philosophy.
Get created.
That's philosophy.
I just can't fathom it in my own head.
I think I'm right.
They move around like metal and things like crystal, cellular level, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
Where does that space come from that they can now move into?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of know. I think my answer's right, but I wouldn't buy it either, frankly, if this was a market. I wouldn't be having any of it. So we'll wait for someone who's better qualified than me, yeah?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mark.
I'll go with that.
No, I like it. Why do things get bigger when it's hot? Oh, and stop it, matron, honestly. 0345 60 60 973. Sometimes things get hotter when it's cold. Just ask that walrus. It's 12:31. Amelia Cox is here with your headlines.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 60 60 973.
It is 26 minutes to one. You're listening to Mystery Hour on LBC, where questions still in need of answers include: why do things get bigger when it's hot? The tower, Eiffel Tower apparently grows by 6 inches in the summer. I think I answered that question, but not satisfactorily. Why do cows lie down when it's going to rain? How did translations work with abstract figures? You've got two people who completely monoglot, only speak one language. How did it happen? How did it... Well, maybe it was people who had a baby. Two monoglots had a baby, and the baby grew up speaking both languages, and that baby was the father of translation. I'm only half joking. I'm thinking out loud. Have there ever been more former prime ministers alive at one time than now? (7) close brackets. And why do humans have so much eye white on display compared to other species? Lawrence is in Bournemouth. Lawrence, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Yes.
Why is it when you use deep heat, you can feel the heat? I'm sure other brands are available, but when you use them and you feel it almost immediately in your muscles, you don't in your hands?
It's because the skin on your hands is so thick, isn't it?
My hands aren't that.
They are.
I use keyboards. They're quite callus-free.
Yeah. Well, but still, compared to your, I don't know, shoulder, it's much thicker skin than it is on your shoulder.
I wouldn't say.
I bet they don't work on your kneecap as well as they work on your back.
Haven't
got very big muscles in our hands? Maybe, I don't know.
I thought it might be muscle related because there aren't many muscles in your hand, but because there's obviously a lot of nerves in your fingertips.
That's true.
You would have thought if you're going to feel it somewhere, you'll feel it there.
Yeah.
But
and you don't get it at all. There's no tingle at all on your hands. It's a while since I've used. I use the spray these days rather than the rub, so it doesn't really apply, does it?
I used some on my back last week. And suddenly, I've been using it for years, and suddenly thought, why aren't I feeling it in my hand?
I'm going for thickness of skin, but I am not claiming a round of applause for it.
Okay.
I'm leaving
Thank you very much.
We should have to hope that someone better qualified is able to contribute. Thank you, Lawrence. Hang on, I'm just going to write that down. Doesn't have to be deep heat, but you know what we're talking about. There's one called Deep Blue that's rather lovely, actually, and it smells nicer as well. But anyway, why does it not? The stuff that you rub into your shoulder, because you've got shoulder pain, and it starts tingling immediately. Your shoulder starts tingling, but the hand with which you're rubbing it in doesn't tingle at all. Why is that? 0345 60 60 973. Reuben, two Reubens today. That's rare. I bet you don't meet many Reubens, do you, on your travels, Reuben?
Not many, James, no.
Two today. That's incredible. Two in 10 minutes. Question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
So your translation question, you started to use my answer yourself already.
Do you know what I did?
Do you know?
Oh, this is awful. I actually came up with that because it's like burbling. I think you could tell. And then I looked at the screen and I saw that you were waiting to come on and with similar. And I thought, he's going to think I nicked it. He's going to think
exactly.
I can never
but
prove.
It doesn't have to be that two have a baby together.
No.
Obviously, the easiest way is with a child. A child under the age of six, I believe, is roughly the age, can still naturally pick up a language just by hearing it.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you place a child in another culture or regularly with another family that speaks another language that child doesn't speak, they will pick it up.
And then they could write a dictionary of translation as soon as they became literate, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the only way to do it. Obviously, Latin languages, of course, there are a lot of similarities anyway between the example your caller gave was English and French. A lot of more technical terms are actually very similar.
That's true.
Between English and French, same with English, Italian. And once you get, two languages or three, you start to see that the words that are missing between one and the other are more similar in the other two. So, like, there are words that are almost identical in French and Italian, or they're identical in French and Spanish, but they're different in the other language. So then once you start to get two or three languages, it's even easier, particularly with Latin languages, to translate between them. But with something completely foreign, I think the easiest way is with children. The example I gave to your researchers, I know that in the 18th century in America, children were put in amongst indigenous tribes in order to learn their languages. Young children were put in amongst them to pick up languages. Yeah, that's something.
So
I
that
the
so that
time ago,
future generations could then communicate more effectively.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it.
What's the other way? Is there a more negative way?
Well, I mean, there's a negative way that the opposite also happened, certainly, that children were taken out of native tribes so that they wouldn't pick up their own language.
Oh, sorry, I
were taught
misunderstood
English
you. Yeah, of course.
In schools from,
of course.
From a young, well,
as,
age.
As with, I mean, they don't have to go all the way to America for that. They tried to abolish the Welsh language not that long ago, within living memory. It was a punishable offence to speak Welsh. I love that. Qualifications?
I've always had an interest in languages, studied languages in school, speak fluent Italian, speak pretty good Spanish and French. It's just something I've picked up.
That's a lovely answer.
In the course of,
that's a brilliant answer. Thank
you. Learning languages.
Great work. Round of applause for Ruben.
Thanks very much.
I should just clarify, I love Ruben's answer to the question. I don't love the fact that they tried to outlaw the Welsh language. I've already upset the Welsh people. My comments about the FA Cup, that's all I need. It's all gone a bit Alan Partridge and the Farmers. Anne's in Mansfield. Anne, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
When I was in my teens, my mum always said an hour's sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours after midnight.
Oh.
I wondered if there was any scientific basis, because I quite often am asleep by 10 o'clock.
Yes.
But I wake up invariably at 4 o'clock.
Oh, no.
So I think 4 hours after midnight, if I've had 2 hours before midnight, the equivalent of four, that makes a total of 8 hours equivalent sleep.
Right.
I wondered if there was anything scientific in that.
What do you think?
I think she was probably just trying to get me to go to bed before midnight.
I do too. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to... They know more about sleep now than they did then. Well, I mean, I doubt. I mean, you might have been a teenager 10 years ago, judging by your voice, Anne.
Decades more than that.
By your dulcet tones, madam, I'd be surprised. But I think they know more now about circadian rhythms and deep sleep and REM sleep and all. So that idea of... I like it. That idea of better quality sleep. I mean, because it's not going to have anything to do with midnight. I'll tell you that for nothing, isn't it?
No.
Because it's going to be how long when you go to sleep and when you wake up in the first half or the second half. So midnight's arbitrary. That doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what would happen when the clocks go back?
I still fall asleep at the same time.
I love it. I'll try and find out. Is there any difference in the quality of sleep in the first half of the night versus the second half of the night? Or it's possible that Anne's mum was right and that it does have the midnight hour does have some sort of special quality. I don't know, linked to the moon or something? Who knows? Thank you, Anne. We shall find out for you, sleeping. It is 12:42. We need some more answers. Let me remind you what still needs answering. Why do things get bigger when it's hot? It's all about molecules, but I need someone to explain it who's cleverer than me. Why does deep heat not make our hands tingle when we're rubbing it on our shoulders, even though our shoulders tingle immediately? Why do cows lie down before it rains? Lovely answer on translations. Very popular answer, that. Well, it was another Reuben, wasn't it? Reuben and Ronan for that one. Ronan asked the question. Reuben provided the answer. So there's seven. There's a flipping round of applause and free entry into the Mystery Hour draw here. Talk about open goal. Living PMs. And the whites of the eyes question, which we liked Debbie's answer a lot, but it was not definitive, I don't believe. Gavin's in Cranfield. Gavin, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
It's the cows question.
Yes.
So it's because they want a dry patch to lie on. So if you're a cow and you're standing up and it's raining,
yeah,
and you decide, oh, I want to lie down, you've got nowhere dry to lie down, so all of you gets wet. If you're lying down before it rains, only half of you gets wet and you get to lie on a dry patch and stay warm.
And and so they send some sort of atmospheric change which tells them it's going to start raining and they hit the deck.
Yeah, same as seagulls coming inland when there's a storm coming, those kind of things. Atmospheric pressure and various other things I don't quite understand.
And presumably, I mean, because you say, why are they so bothered about getting wet? Because they get cold and energy used, all that kind of thing. It's
more about conserving energy.
Energy efficient. Qualifications?
So, graduate of Agriculture University, and my brother-in-law is a dairy farmer.
That'll do. Yeah, have a round of applause. Oh, hang on. Got it. And when do they come home?
Sorry?
The cows.
When do they come home?
Yeah.
At homecoming time?
It's 12:43. Connor's in Warwick. Connor, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's about the why hot things expand.
Right. I'm going to play the role of Mark on this one. I need to warn you. So it's going to have to be a good answer, all right?
Well, you are right. Basically, it is to do with molecules jiggling. What you can do is you can model metals as spheres, the atoms in the metals are spheres, which are connected by springs. And they jiggle, and the hotter they are, the more energy they have, so they'll jiggle with greater amplitude, and that's why they expand. And in terms of where that space is coming from, I think Mark was confused where the space is coming from. It just pushes the air out the way, so where the space where the air was, that's moved away, the metal is now there.
Air in the metal?
Well, not in the metal, sorry.
That's what he was confused about. If it's expanding, what's it expanding into within the boundaries of the object?
Well, within the metal, it's just nothing, just space.
Yeah, that's the problem, you see. Because I don't think your answer's any better than mine. Because if I'd said if Mark said, what's it expanding in, and I said nothing, he would not have accepted that art. This is why science is so amazing, isn't it? Because you're right, but you can also understand how the language is almost not up to the job of describing the science.
Well, I suppose you could say that the air is being pushed away and the volume of the Earth is very, very slightly getting bigger, but, you know.
But what's inside the Eiffel Tower that wasn't inside it before, when it's 6 inches bigger than it was before?
Nothing. Just a slightly weaker interaction.
You just need to think of something that has different manifestations. It's the same thing, but it has different properties at different temperatures.
Yeah. And also, it's not true that everything expands when it gets hotter. So water, for example, when you melt ice, it actually contracts.
Yes, ice expands, or rather water expands when you freeze it, doesn't it? Which is why things crack, why buildings crack and roads break and things like that. And
yes.
Qualifications?
I'm a physicist.
That'll do. Hang on, what rank physicist are you?
I'm a PhD student.
That'll do, yes, allowed. Round of applause for Dr. Connor. A slightly unnerving number of people are texting me details of what happens if you should happen to spray your genitals with deep heat. Please stop now.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
Well, this is awkward. I've answered so many questions myself that we've run out a little bit early today. Let me remind you of the ones that still need answering. Is there a difference in the quality of your sleep? Anne's original question takes midnight as the pivotal point, before and after midnight, as her mum used to insist. I'll embellish it slightly and say, if you break your sleep into two halves, is there any difference in the quality of sleep between the first half and the second? So you sleep for 8 hours, the first four and the second four, is it identical or does it get better or worse? Is there any difference? Okay, 0345 606 0973. When you rub deep heat into your shoulder and it starts tingling, why do you not feel any tingle in your fingles? in your fingers or your hands. 0345 6060973. We've done that. What's the largest? Is seven the biggest number of former prime ministers that has ever been alive at one time? 0345 6060973. And why do humans, I think this was more Mariam's question, why do humans have so much sclera on display? And for those of you who did not enjoy a classical education, sclera is the word for what we would call the whites of your eyes. The whites of your eyes. It's 12:51. Ian is in Bognor Regis. Ian, question or answer?
Well, it's an answer, James.
Is it? Come on.
It's one that you've answered yourself, but I don't think you've got really right. You were on the back of a lot of self-applause at the
don't
time, obviously.
Ridiculous. Said 15 hours a week of self-applause this programme, Ian, but sometimes it's literal. So you're launching a steward's inquiry.
I'm just suggesting you need some check and balance. You know, maybe bring your wife in every now and then just to
calm
you down.
Could be right. My WASIC alarm. Go on, what do you think I got wrong?
Right, I think it's County Durham
yeah.
to differentiate between the city of Durham and the county that's Durham.
No, because why not call it Durham County then? Or Durhamshire?
Well, it's County Durham because that way you're not talking about the city. There's no city of Yorkshire or city of Nottinghamshire.
No, I know, but you'd call it Durhamshire or you'd call it Durham County.
Well, no,
why County Durham?
Because it is the county is Durham, therefore to differentiate, people say County Durham. So my dad, for instance, was from Stanley, County Durham.
Yes.
You don't say he's from Durham because people might then think he's from the city of
but
Durham.
But why don't that wasn't the question. The question was why is it County Durham and not Durhamshire?
No, that wasn't. He said, why is it County Durham but not County Yorkshire or County Nottingham?
It's the same question. It's the same question. It'd be County York, wouldn't it? Or County Nottingham.
Well, because they named the county Durham, so they need to differentiate between the cities. There aren't other counties that have a city of the same name.
But that's the same answer as why do we say Yorkshire and not York?
Look, I know it hurts. I know, you know, the criticism of mass self-applause.
Outrageous. Hang on, I'm trying to find
it. You're finding it difficult. You're trying to backpedal here. Well, you're not trying to backpedal. You know you need to, really, but...
Are you familiar with the County Palatine of Durham?
No. I thought that was some sort of ancient bogus thing. Why would we need to use words like Palatine anymore?
Because, as you know, the original divisions across these lands were largely drawn along religious lines. They would have been dioceses and bishoprics, and the Archbishop of Durham was the head, if you like, of the County Palatine of Durham until, I don't want to, I mean, broadly speaking, I give myself 20 years either way, until about the middle of the 19th century. And it's a remnant of the description County Palatine of Durham, which is a religious reference that explains why county remains in front of the word Durham when talking about the County of Durham.
Well, you have a fantastic education from your public school, and I just went to a state school and did mathematics.
Now you've gone from arrogantly accusing me of not being able to accept that I was wrong to claiming that it's somehow linked to your poor education.
Well, no, I was frightened yesterday when we were talking about the math question.
Don't get me onto
math.
I don't know. I don't know that it's definitive. I don't know that it's definitive, but I do know that it was the County Palatine of Durham in the 19th century.
Right.
And that makes more sense.
County Durham, so people don't confuse it with the city.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question of why didn't they call it Durhamshire or Durham County? And the answer is history, because it was County Palatine of Durham. I think he's just a bishop, actually, not an archbishop in Durham, so I'll give you that.
Kentshire, Suffolkshire, they weren't. They've got different names, and not all shires.
Well, Cambridgeshire, Oxfordshire, Nottinghamshire, Yorkshire, Durhamshire.
I know there's a lot of them.
Durhamshire. So that's it. Cornwall. That is it. I'm going to give you a round of applause, all right? Because I can tell that you're
Because
you're clearly quite needy. It's 12:54. Denise is in Lisbon, in Northern Ireland. Denise, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
The whites of the eyes, the
yes.
sclera.
Yes.
In most animals, it's pigmented, so it's not white. It's still sclera.
Okay.
But it's not white.
Oh.
We have whites of our eyes, so that our irises are more visible, and it's thought to be to do with communicate that we use our eyes to communicate. Obviously, animals are trying to stay away from prey, so they don't want the whites of their eyes necessarily to be seen.
Oh, yeah. So it's an evolutionary advantage then, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I never thought of that. So when you go, I mean, you shine a light in the middle of the night, the eyes flash back at you, don't they? And that's, I think they call it lamping. It's a sort of form of poaching or something. But, yeah, gosh. Yeah. What are your qualifications?
I'm an optometrist.
And it comes up. I mean, it's something that you've touched on. It's not a deep area of study, is it? It's not important to...
No, but it isn't. It isn't to do with the size of the eyes necessarily, but I suppose it's, you know, as you say, it's an evolutionary... and that our eyes are not just for seeing.
Love it. What was that? Did you hear something then?
I'm so sorry. That's my fault.
What happened then?
Do you know what that was?
No.
Do you want to know what it was?
Was it a ghost?
That was Oprah Winfrey walking up a hill.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How long have you been a professional broadcaster?
30 years. I'm so sorry.
Sheila Fogarty there, making an unscripted contribution to Mystery. Thank you, Sheila. 56 is the time. 30 years and every day is a school day, right?
Exactly.
Thank you, Denise. Did Denise get her round of applause? No, Denise, this is for you. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Denise, that you had to be exposed to that appalling display of amateurism.
But was the previous one for me?
Yeah, that was for you.
How exciting. That's only my second round of applause.
Denise, take care. Thank you. Nikki's in Gillingham. Nikki, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
About sleep. So you go through, in the evening, your body starts to wind down.
Yes.
To naturally prepare you for sleep. And then you'll go into five sleep stages. So stage one and two are the non-rapid eye movement stages. And then two stages after that are deep sleep. And then stage five is the REM sleep, where you'll dream. So stage three and four are where it's very hard to wake someone up. They're being such a deep sleep, almost like unconscious.
Right. And is that the better sleep? Is that better, for want of a better word, than better? A better word than better?
So that's when your brain sort of starts to cleanse itself and
detoxify.
Get rid of all toxins. Yeah.
And that would likely be after midnight then?
Yes.
So in a way, Anne's mum was right, in a way.
Well, you go through this stage roughly every 90 minutes.
Oh, I see.
So if you get a good 8 hours, it'll be whatever that is, 90 minutes.
Come on, it's not that hard, is it? Six cycles, isn't it? No, not six, five and a bit, or whatever.
Yeah,
why'd you
like
bring
that.
Maths into it? What do you think this is? This is why Rishi Sunak's right. We should all do more round of applause. Oh, qualifications?
Yeah, I've got a round of applause. I'm a psychology teacher.
There we go, that'll do. Well done. I don't know, I've got to pick a favourite now. I haven't got a clue. I really haven't got a clue. I think I'm going to give it to Debbie, the dog behaviourist, even though she didn't go definitive on the dog answer. I just thought she was the person that made me smile the most in the course of that conversation. And no one answered the question about prime ministers. Have there ever been more than seven?
I Googled this.
Did you? You're not allowed to Google.
No,
what has happened to you today?
I wasn't playing the game. I was just outside. Do you want the benefit of my Googling or not?
No, go on then.
Yes, six is the most since 1951. But there have been a number of periods where there have been five living other prime ministers.
Right? But never seven.
Never seven.
Until now.
Was it seven now?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Brown, Blair, Cameron, May, Johnson.
Johnson, Truss.
Truss. Major.
Oh, yeah, well done.
Thank you. It's your turn now. Hang on, I need to do the gubbins. If you miss... Thank you very much. Thank you. If you miss any of today's show, you can listen back on catch up on Global Player, where you'll find all LBC shows to catch up on, as well as the world's biggest podcasts. Download Global Player for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Tom Sawbrick will be with you at 4. And now, as if you hadn't worked it out for yourself already...
Oprah Winfrey hiking up a hill.
Walking up a hill. Here's Sheila Fogarty.
Did you count your cat's toes?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I forgot.
We'll
I will count them tonight. But the more I think about it, the less likely it is that I have... My cat has more toes than any other cat in recorded history.
Well, I happen to know that Tiger in Alberta in Canada is very worried indeed. Someone else who might be worried, Prince William.